It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. Oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. For my Lord, for my Lord. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. For my Lord, for my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're working on a building. We're not done yet. He's not done yet, but he's getting close to getting done with us. How many of you glad about that tonight? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Did you enjoy service here on Wednesday night? Well, welcome to summertime. Praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church tonight. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, what a wonderful privilege it is once again to be in the house of the Lord. If you're here tonight and your fire is about gone out, all you see is embers, you ashes, your spiritual life. Why don't you determine tonight you're going to throw another log on the fire? You're gonna do something for the cause of Jesus Christ. I see all these unbelievers and ex-believers and all these folks. They're so fervent in what they're standing for. I want to be just as fervent in what I'm standing for. Because I know that we're standing for truth tonight. Do you appreciate truth? Do you appreciate the message? Amen. Amen. I challenge you tonight, every one of you, to participate with all your heart in this song service. Don't make five or six carry your load. You carry your own load tonight. You're here to have church. You're here to add your fire to our fire. We're here to create such an atmosphere It's untelling what could happen in this room tonight. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's all powerful. He can still heal. He can still save. He can still encourage. Give him a big hand clap of praise. Well, if I was a singer, I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I'd keep right on my singing, and I'd work on the building too. I'm working on the building. I'm working on the building. I'm working on the building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. Hallelujah. And if there was nothing else to encourage you tonight, just look standing here before us, Brother Sam and Sister Gail Clark, able to be back in the house of God tonight. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Sister Gail, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just so glad. Also, Sister Sharon Ward, been in the hospital for several days on two different occasions. She's here in the service tonight. Oh, we've got a lot to thank the Lord for. Hallelujah. And most of all, just look at yourself. Look at your hands. Look at your arms. Just look all over you if you can. If you can see all over you. The greatest thing about all of that is that you had another desire to come to the house of God. You, something within you caused you to come to the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Give him another big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight with all your heart. If I was a preacher, I'm gonna tell you what I'd do. I'd keep right on my preaching, and I'd work on this building too. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm 64-year-old, soon to be 65. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to stand behind this desk. I know when Brother Donnie releases me, I'll know that'll be the will of the Lord. And until he does, I ain't leaving. I ain't going nowhere because I'll get beaten of my life. But I'm not saying that to get you to do that. But I'm just saying this. I have determined I ain't getting no younger. I'm getting older and I'm a little bit weaker every day that I live. But whatever is in me, I'm going to give every speck of it to the cause of Christ. I come to these services, I'm going to stand at my post. Wherever my post is, I'm going to stand at it, and I'm going to put everything I've got. Because when I stand before Him on that day, I don't want to be a survivor. I want to be a conqueror. We're living right here in the middle of hell. Satan's eating all around us. But we're victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at these prayer requests tonight. Brother Reese has a very special and spoken prayer request he wants us to remember. Sister Sharon Ward offers this testimony. I would like to thank everyone for your many cards, gifts, and visits to the hospital during my stay there. But most of all, thank you so much for all your prayers. I love and appreciate each and every one of you. May God bless you all. So we're certainly thankful that she's able to be in this service with us tonight. I want to pray for Ernest Oliver. That's Sister Tammy Dixon, Sister Cynthia Parker's father. He has congestive heart failure. internal bleeding. He is undergoing several tests to determine what must be done for him. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of him. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please remember my brother, his wife, and their little girl in prayer. Since my father passed away, they have been my mother's primary caretaker, and it's very hard on them. Like myself, me and my brothers live too far away to be able to help very much. So she's asking for their strength, the Lord to just strengthen them. I believe he's able to do it, don't you? I want to pray for Connie Marangel. I hope I got that name close to right. From Virginia, she's in the hospital on life support, has several major complications, and really needs the prayer of God's people. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. We want to pray for Brother Don Riddlebaugh. He has flu-like symptoms. He's at home streaming the service tonight. Let's pray for him. Brother Baker said, I had a very bad fall last Sunday. I just want to thank the Lord that I wasn't hurt too bad. So we praise the Lord for that. Brother Mike Johnson says, this is a follow-up to a request that I submitted a couple of weeks ago. Sister Gertie Bogus was examined by an oncologist, and he found a tumor in her midsection. He wanted to do chemo and surgery, but she said she's trusting God for whatever his will is. Please continue to pray for her and her family. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Linda Kennedy says, please pray for my daughter, Tammy Sutherland. She's really going through a rough time in her marriage. Well, God can fix marriages, can't he? Amen. We'll remember Jamie Hayton in prayer tonight. He's sick in body. Thank you, and may God bless. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know God's able tonight? Brother Jackie Benton, would you come tonight? Lead us to the Lord in prayer, if you would. And if you want to, well, whether you want to or not, just do it. I claim the blood. We're going to claim the blood for these needs tonight. Is that right? We're going to claim the blood. Let's stand to our feet, if you will. Join our brother in prayer. But let's sing this little chorus a couple of times, Brother Jackie, if you will. Ever how you feel led just before we pray tonight. Appreciate this, brother, don't we? God bless Brother Jackie Benton. I love you, partner. God bless you. Sing it, buddy.
I have a source of strength when I am weak. It helps me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of
love. Yes, we are.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. For their glory, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. With the peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Hallelujah. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. Hallelujah. For all my sin, my glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. One more time, let's sing it. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Mustang were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. Hallelujah. When I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. Listen, I do not know how others make it through who never go to Calvary as I glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let cleansing stream that flows with the peace that only His redeemed can know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness, and my pain. Hallelujah. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood. When I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those precious bloodstains. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we come to you tonight in faith believing. Thanking you, Lord, for those precious bloodstains that takes away all of our sin. Hallelujah. By your stripes we are healed. We thank you tonight, Lord, for our host of believers tonight that can join. Hallelujah, Lord, tonight in unison. Oh God, hallelujah, believing, Lord, the promises of thy word. We bring these requests to you, Father, tonight. Lord, unless you move, Lord, in behalf of some of these requests, there's no hope. Hallelujah, but you come, Lord, to bring hope. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Lord Jesus, you said, I have come that you might have life. And Lord, we believe it tonight, Lord, and we claim the promises of thy word, Lord, for the people tonight. Oh, Father, for every need, Lord, for sickness, for sin, Lord, we ask you, dear God, that you'll come minister to this people tonight, Father. Lord Jesus, we join our faith together, Lord, in behalf of these requests, and believing, Lord, that we're going to hear, hallelujah, Lord, of things that begin to transpire, to take place tonight, Father, because, Lord, there's a body of believers tonight here that's believing and standing, Lord, in behalf of all these requests, Father. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with every, Lord, part of the service tonight, the singing, Lord, the message that comes forth. May we, Lord, be able to rejoice under the word of God tonight. Hallelujah, that our lives can be changed, that we can soon, Lord, take a rapture. We're looking for that tonight, Father. Grant it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we commit it all into your hands, in the hands of a caring, loving Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. And amen.
I love that guy right there, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. Let's sing a song tonight. He came looking for me. You know what? You may have thought you could run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. He'll find you. He'll get you. If you belong to him, aren't you glad he's able to get you? Aren't you glad he's able to bring you in? Amen. Let's sing with all of our heart tonight.
That's probably a little bit low.
He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. For Jesus was near to rescue my soul from all my fear. Now I'm saved from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul. Calm all my fear. Now I'm saved from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with fright. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith but all gone, I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. Saved from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave, planned to move forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care? I'd soon be gone. I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared, said, "That one is mine." Oh, hallelujah. I want you to sing with all you got. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. To rescue my soul, calm all my fear. Now I'm saved from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Now I'm saved from all harm since I met the one. Aren't you glad you met the one who came looking? He came looking for me. He came looking for me. Hallelujah. And you know what? When I became found, I became a rich man. I'm richer than anybody in the world tonight. You're looking at a rich man. I'm looking at rich people. You have been found by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sit down tonight. God bless you. Mr. Cutts, come and sing for us tonight. You're visiting here with us tonight in this service. We want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, I pray God will bless those folks as well tonight. You know what? A revival in a church can start with one person. one person get enthused, get on fire for God, it can spread. And one person can destroy a church. I want to be the one that gets on fire. How about you? Somebody give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart.
Service.
our precious pastor, is coming to bring us the word of the Lord. I don't feel bad about calling him my precious pastor. I respect him with everything I've got. I respect him because he respects me enough to tell me the truth. I respect a man that'll tell me the truth. How about you tonight? Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, and I want you to receive what I'm fixing to tell you. Some of you may have saw it. I don't know. I hope not. But somebody, I don't recognize who they are. I've never recognized their names. Don't know them from Adam. But they placed some very, very vulgar pictures on my Facebook page. And what I wanted to do, first of all, I wanted to just squeeze them real tight till they fell down in the floor. And then I wanted to stand on their neck. But I got to thinking, them people are to be pitied. And I blocked them from, I don't recognize them. But if anybody saw that, God is my witness, I'm not guilty of that. Don't you never think that. I'm not guilty of that. I didn't have anything. My wife is the one that saw it first. And we blocked them. I'll do away with the computer before I let somebody mar my testimony for Jesus Christ. I want to walk right before the Lord. How about you? And we've got a godly pastor here. Godly men and women that love this message with all their heart. And I want to join ranks with every one of you. And let's hold each other real tight. And love the Lord with all of our heart. And I appreciate you. If anybody saw that, it wasn't me. Please don't think that. May God bless you tonight. Let's sing a song. I'm one of them. How about you tonight? Are you one of them?
Amen.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I can say I'm one of them. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Oh, are you glad you can say you're one of them? Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. One more time. I'm one of them.
Gathered in the upper room, all praise, baptized with the Holy Ghost, our service came. For them that day, you the same. I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm one of them. So glad I can say one of them.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, all of us are identified as being something. I'm glad I'm one of them. Bible believing, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, message believers. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of James tonight, if you would. Isn't it wonderful to be back in the house of God? Amen. Amen. Book of James, chapter 3, verse 16. I want to speak to you tonight on motives for war. Motives for war. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Now he closes out chapter 3 by talking about the wisdom which comes from above and the characteristics that are with that wisdom. And then talking about those saints that sow the right things in peace. Then he begins the next verse by asking this question. So if this is what we're believing and what we're part of, how come there's wars? How come there's fightings among you? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? You mean he's writing this to church folks? First century message believers? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even, now notice where he puts this now, even of your lust that war in your members. So James is speaking to a category of people that he feels are born again. Because he puts the war not in their souls. He's not saying y'all need to get saved. Y'all need the Holy Ghost. You need a new birth. That's what you need. If you get a new birth, then stop all that. That wasn't where he put it. But he put the war remaining in their members. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read this from the Hebrews series. Now, I want you to notice, Brother Bram says, Abraham said, I'll not take from a thread to a shoe latch. He didn't fight the war to make a lot of money. Now, he's talking about whenever a lot went down into towards Sodom and backslid. And Abraham heard that he was caught captive, and he goes down against the king, Chedorlaomer, and all the other kings. And Brother Bram tells now the reason that Abraham did this. He didn't fight the war to make a lot of money. And real, true battles are not made with selfish motives. Wars are not fought for money. Wars are fought for motives, for principles. Men fight war for principles. And when Abraham went out to get Lot, he didn't go out because he knowed he could whip the kings and take all their possession. Now listen, he's setting the reason of why we declare war. And if we don't declare it when we're on the other side to defend, why do we fight wars? Listen, why our motives must be. If we fight a war because we know we can whip somebody, we're in the wrong. If you declare a war on a website because you know more than the people that don't know as much as you do, and you know you can defeat them, you'd be better off to leave that war alone. Because God won't honor it. You got the wrong motive. Now notice the way he deals with this. He said he didn't go out because he knew he could whip the kings and take all their possession. He went out for the principle of saving his brother. Any minister that's sent out under the inspiration of the King of Heaven will not go for money. Neither will he go to make big churches. Neither will he go to inspire denominations. He'll go for one principle, and that is to bring back his fallen brother. Whether he gets a dime in the offering or whether he doesn't, it won't make a bit of difference to him. Motives for war. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we so thank you tonight for your great presence. We sense you here tonight in a special way. And we are so grateful once again that we have been invited into the august courts of your presence. We know as Gentiles before the advent of your human body to the earth and the cross of propitiation, we were without God, without a hope. But you made a way, Father, that we could stand here now. And we are so grateful. We don't want to be able to stand in your presence and not say thank you for it. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd take your word and speak to our hearts. We're dealing, Lord, in this day with many avenues and many different things that we've never dealt with before. And even though it may be new to us, it's not new to you. But we need your guidance, your counsel in this day, Father. If we must fight, teach us how to fight. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. As one Christian, I'm sure that I will only be one voice among the hundreds here tonight. I do not like war. As a matter of fact, I hate war. Whether it's war in a family, war in a church, war in a political party, war in our nation, war in our move. I don't like war. Never have. I've always been a peace-loving type of a person. I wish when God would have called me, humanly speaking, I wish he would have sent me to the peacemaking department. Maybe the Message United Nations or something like that. I wish I could have been the guy that packed all the white flags and rolled them all up and ironed them, and I'd have been in charge of the white flag department. Probably some of y'all feel the same way. Because the war that we are engaged in, it's not just a war that involves preachers. It is a war that involves every child of God. Now truly, we will meet it on different fronts. God will never send you to a front that you're incapable of being able to handle. And the only time that you and I will lose battles is when either we're not equipped, we haven't done what we're supposed to do, or we got into a front that our pride and our selfishness led us into, and God never let us there in the first place. Because it would be unbecoming of God in his wisdom and his justice to lead you and I to a front that he knew we were incapable of being able to deal with. So if we will find what God wants us to be and remain in that, I don't think that any of us have to lose battles.
Amen.
Now maybe I'm looking at it wrong tonight, but I just cannot find it in the Word of God that it is required that I lose 75 out of 78 of my battles. As a matter of fact, I've not found where I'm absolutely required to lose one out of 78. Praise the Lord. So if I don't have to lose them, then what I want to find out is, how can I keep from losing them? If I can be a greater victor in my life than what I am, I don't know about you, I want to be. Now maybe you like going around and having the bully grubs and all that sort of thing. Myself, I feel like if I lose a battle and God wanted me to lose it, I feel like I've done something to him. I've belittled him in some way by not being all that he wanted me to be. Now, let's go on and read this so you'll kind of get my foundation here tonight. Brother Branham says again in paragraph 77, as I say, real wars are fought and waged for principles and not for money. And men and women who join church and come into church to be popular because the Joneses belong there or they change their church from a little church to a big church, you're doing it for a selfish motive and the right principle is not behind it. Now notice he says, you should be willing to stand at the battlefront. Now if we as Christian people are involved in a great warfare, and truly we are, and it seems that it's so difficult now that many people don't know where the battlefront really is. It seemed to be a few years ago that the battle lines are more clear. That white was white, black was black, as we say. But for many, it seems like there's so many gray areas about right and wrong and this and that and the other. People don't know what to stand for. They don't know what to stand against. They don't know who to stand against. They don't know if they should embrace everybody, if they should do this and the other, which is really, really sad. It shows that the darkness of the age has moved closer and closer to where the light is, and the definition of light has become muddled somehow by the rays of darkness, because if we were walking in the full illumination of the light of God, right and wrong should be just as clear now as it was 30 years ago. Now, Satan will try his best to muddle it in our perception, but if we've got the Holy Ghost, our perception should be on the muddling of Satan trying to muddle it in our minds. So if we are going to fight a battle, how are we going to know what to stand against or to stand with unless it's been declared to us by the Word of God? For many folks, years ago, they stood against a homosexual agenda, but many of them don't do that anymore. Why? Because it's not politically correct. You know, you can become ruined. You can lose your political whatever you've got there. Preachers don't do it anymore because many of them, they can't do it because they found out they got a boy that's one of them, or a girl, or a nephew, or a niece, and they can't stand against them no more. So you can't stand against that. You can't stand against that. You can't preach against divorce in the message no more. You can't preach against folks leaving no more. What are we going to be left to preach on? What's going to be left for me to talk about in a year or two? Because no matter what you say, somebody's going to get mad. I figure the only thing that I could preach on every service that I'm making somebody bad would be me. And I figure after two or three services, I'd get mad. So I figure the best thing for me to do is preach what the Holy Ghost gives me. And just let the chips fall where they will. That's me, that's you, that's all of us together. Now, since we are in a war that we actually did not start, and we did not declare, we need to be able to go to the commander-in-chief and to be able to find out from him what are the lines, what are the perimeters, where are the fronts, where are these things that we're supposed to deal with. Now listen to me carefully. If this is overwhelming to you for a few moments, it was to me too. Last Saturday morning, a few minutes after 5, when the Lord woke me up in a motel down in Kentucky, and I was laying there big-eyed as I am right now, and the Spirit of God began to drop these things in my heart. And whenever I got up, I laid there for a couple hours before daylight, and I got up and I put it down on the computer in Carolina. I started home, and I was studying all the way coming home, if that makes sense to you, trying to think, oh my goodness, because I thought I was going to have church Saturday night, and I was in my mind getting ready, and the closer we got to the house, the more the snow picked up. Let me tell you something. You folks think you're sad when you can't have church? It ain't near as hard on none of you as it is on me. You ought to be in my position when Almighty God is opening the windows of heaven. He is showing you things, and your soul feels like a dam that is about to explode. And you can't have church. So don't let me hear your grumping and your complaining. I don't like it a bit more than you do. Now, listen to this. Whenever the war was first initiated, we were not around. We were not even in existence in molecular structure. We were not in time. We were not expressed in atoms. We were only in thought form. Now that is a great form to be in, but it is a lonely form. For we were there in thought form, but there had been a portion of God's thoughts which had become expressed, but you and I had been withheld from that stage of expression. So the only way that we're going to be able to know in this day, how do we fight? And if we are people of war, as much as we would rather embrace peace, if we are a people of war that this conflict has been pushed upon us, then the only way for us to be able to know what we are to fight against, and even the attitude that we fight with, how do we fight? Do we fight with words? Do we fight with actions? Do we fight with attitudes? Now, if we are going to fight, is it okay if I have the right motive and yet I have the wrong attitude? Does that work?
If I'm standing for the truth and yet I've got an attitude that is so ill and so contrary to the Spirit of God, is that accepted? No, it's not accepted. I can not only have the right motive, but I must fight in the right way. Now, this may seem peculiar to you, but there is a right way to flay people. There is a right way to skin them. And if you know how to do it, they can smile right at you while you're taking the hide right off the bones. Now, it don't make it seem pleasant, but there is a way. That's what we need gifted men of God for. They can lay your life right open. They can preach what you and your wife talked about coming to church, and yet they didn't know one thing about it. And yet they're able to help you to see your wrong and your shortcoming. And you say, God, help me to be a better man. But you know what? You can take somebody that's not a gifted person and they'll read the same quote, or a person who's not called to stand in that front, and they will make you mad. It will rub you the wrong way and it just won't go over good. That's why every man, even God called men, have to find their front, and there they have to stay and work within the inner workings of this mystical body of God. Now let's look at this then, that we are fighting a war. And well, we're fighting a war against worldliness. We're fighting a war against accusations, of course, against our message and our prophet against us. We're fighting a war of all kinds of things in our nation. We're fighting a war of the Antichrist. The stage is being set in every way. Many things we're able to see it naturally. Myself, I think under the administration that we've had, our president, under the European leaders, under the Pope, under many different ones, all of it is coming together. It's taking away more and more and more of our liberties. It's getting ready for one-man leadership to step up in the last day. Now, how do we stand against that and oppose that and do not develop a bad attitude? How do we stand against worldliness? How do we stand against women cutting their hair and dressing ungodly and all that, and yet be able to do it with the right attitude and the right mentality? There is a way. So if Satan cannot stop us from actually declaring something against it, then he will move us over to where we do it with the wrong motive, and then we're just as wrong as the man who doesn't say one thing against it. Now remember, the Lord had to rebuke Brother Branham because he was calling people Ricky and Ricketta. You remember that? And the Lord actually took sides with the people because the way Brother Branham was doing it was totally wrong. And the church said, now, what he was saying was not wrong so much, but the way he was saying it. Now, you know, I'm not a very smart man, so I went back in 60, 61, 62. I've listened to the ways that Brother Branham said that. And myself, I couldn't pick up one thing. Maybe been a preacher. And then I listened to the things that he said afterwards, because 6 months, 9 months, something like that, after the Lord spoke to him, he started saying the exact same thing again. But apparently there was an attitude adjustment. So God never stopped him again and said, hey, I told you not to say that. So what he was saying was right, but the way he was saying it was not pleasing to the Lord. Come on, children. So in fighting a war, it's not just so much that we grab up the sword. Praise God, I'm all man. Let me at that devil. Let me. People like that make a bigger mess than somebody that don't do nothing. Well, glory to God. So it's not just standing for truth, it's not just saying truth, but it's us being at the right place at the right time, called to be at that right front, gifted to be able to be at that right front, and to know what God wants us to be. And the saints said, amen. Now can you imagine the United States of America calling out the Navy and having them to bring their great Navy ships out in the middle of the desert of Saudi Arabia? What? What are y'all laughing about? What's the problem? Are you saying these men don't know how to fight? So you mean the waves or the sands of the desert wouldn't be quite the same as the Atlantic or the Pacific or the Mediterranean? You mean that's not their front? That's not their profession? That's not where they... Oh, hallelujah. So what do? They go by guidelines. So you got this branch, and you got this branch, and you got this branch. Well, they choose to go four. God chose five. God's got a fivefold branch in order to put inside the body. And I realize a lot of the knotheads around the message, they want one branch. Well, they're just been cheated by four. Amen. And there's others that just want one branch, and that's the pastor. You're also being cheated and left out before. If God put five in there, there's a need for all five. That's exactly right. Now, what's Brother Branham, and he says in Question and Answers 1954, we realize that Satan in the beginning set up a kingdom in the Northlands to be more beautiful than that Michael was. And there was a day that he declared war in heaven. All right, now here is the first declaration of war. God never declared it. God had no reason to make the first declaration. So God allows Satan to live. Now remember, at this slot in time, this being has now arrived to where he wants to be the furtherance of what he now understands about himself. God says, "Thou was created perfect until iniquity was created in thee." And God never created sin. Sin is not a creation. So God never created this in Lucifer, the archangel, son of the morning. He never created this like a software that at a certain day this would kick in. God could have never judged him if he would have done that. But he puts him on a basis to where he has a soul. Now listen, he has a soul. With a soul, he has the ability to choose right and wrong. So one day he comes in heaven. He might have been there for thousands of years or millions of years. He was the angel which stopped the approach into the presence of God. Thou art the anointed cherub, and I have set thee so. So any of the seraphims, any of the cherubims, any of the other lower ranking angels that would have come up to the throne of God for fellowship, for whatever reason, they must come through the Son of the Morning. He was God's right-hand man of fellowship. Now, he was so much like God that God actually shared God-like characteristics in his creation when God made him. Now, remember, he was made, but nobody made God. So if this guy was made, then he was inferior to the one who made him. But yet the one who made him chose to make him in such a way that he would have similarities and identifications and even ambitions to where he would want to be like his boss. Now watch, Brother M says, and there was a day that he declared war in heaven. He pulled two-thirds of the angelic beings with him. Now I want you to think of this setting now. There was no cigarettes, there was no alcohol, there was no honky-tonks, there was no filthy-dressed women. All there was there was the streets of heaven, whatever it was like at that time. And it was the pre-creation, of course, of the earth. And it was a holy place, a righteous place, purity of God, holiness of God. And there was no humanity there. There was nothing fallen at all. It was all God and these millions of triads of millions of angels. And here Satan gets among them, and it started in his own heart. In his pride. It started within himself, and once he got stronger and stronger and stronger, then he comes to a spot to where he feels like he's got enough backing, so he declares the first war. Now I want to ask you, if motives for wars are why they are fought, what was his motive? To have a better heaven. You answer me. Was it to be a better God than God was? Answer me. Was it to heal people? Was it to save them? Was it to set them free? Was it to give them eternal life? Was it to liberate them from sin? What was his motive? Selfishness. Now let me say this to you tonight. If you ever declare a war on me, your motives better be right. Or you will be consumed by your own war. For those who have declared a war on Brother Branham. Listen. For those who have declared a war on this message. What has been their motives? Is it to lead people to a greater walk with God? How many's getting saved in this war? How many's got healed? How many's got the Holy Ghost? What kind of signs, wonders, deliverances are being come? But what is it? Jezebel, bobbed head, painted face. What? That was the reason of the declaration of the war. So the war has been declared to liberate the women. Can anybody tell me where God ever had a revival or a move to liberate only one sex? Was it just the women that come out of the land of Egypt? Was it just the men that come out of the land of Egypt? Was it the women that come out of the land in the days of Samson, in the days of Barakta? Was it just the women or the men? No, it was men and women. So when you got a move that focuses on one sex, it comes from the devil. Right. But see, many of the people are so foolish. They join in the war and they fight. And they don't try to go to the commander and say, hey, why are we fighting this war? What is the motive for me fighting this war? Why am I doing this? Friends, I don't mind telling you, I wouldn't want to be in some of the shoes of these folks that's taking it on themselves to buy this message for nothing in the world. Brother Ben tells us about a man that had the picture of the pillar of fire over his head. And the man simply laughed at that picture. The prophet of God said he blasphemed the Holy Ghost and crossed the line. This is serious stuff. Will God strike him dead? Oh no, the war ain't over yet. There's more to leave. There's more for him to gather. I just ain't one of them. What about you, Brother Scott? Brother Jim? Now watch, so Satan declares a war. Now we'd have to go deep into his being then to find out. No doubt the judgment will make known to us many wars that have been. And we know that many times the people are the pawns of war. The people become a city or a town and the heads will meet and, well, we'll fight this in a war. You do this and I'll do that. And my, it'd probably be unbelievable if we know all this went on down through time. But yet we know then that God never fights war that way. God don't slip nothing up on the table. He puts it on top of it up here. God ain't got no strings to pull. God ain't got nothing to hide. He's able to express his motives, his objectives. He has no hypocrisy. Amen. Why? His motives are right. But now Satan knows you'll never join his side if he tells you his real motives. Now how many would fight for the devil if they went into his office and they sat down and said, sir, I'm thinking about joining your army. I want to know the real motive for this war. All right, I'll tell you. I'm going to take you to hell. Your soul will fry like a pancake in hell. You will be annihilated. I'll eat your body up with cancer once I get you stuck on them cigarettes. I'll eat up your liver with cirrhosis. I'll get you addicted to meth. I'll get you addicted to this and that. I will not set you free. I will hate you. I do not love my subjects. I don't love a one of them. I have no heaven to take you to. I have no promise of healing. I have no joy in my camp. I have no deliverance. So you still want to join? But what does he do? Oh, come in. You're interested in joining them? Yes, I was thinking about, great. We have some of the best benefits in this world. Really? Yes. You could do anything you want to do. Lie number one. Even sinners don't do what they do, want to do. They got voices that talk to them and they got this inner passion on the inside. Something's all the time telling them what to do. My, you can live a life of Riley. My, you can do this and do that. What about going to church? Oh, if you want to go to church, sure, that's fine. I have no problem with church. I attend a lot of myself. I love to go to church. Oh, what about believing the cross? Sure, I believe the cross myself. What about believing in God? Absolutely. Been baptized? Sure. I was baptized myself. Jesus baptized me. when I was in Judas. Clapping your hands, okay? Sure, I love to clap my hands. So, people say, where do I sign? Then the Lord Jesus says, I need some soldiers. Then he sends me and these other preachers out. We go to calling recruits. We sat down there at the office. We're like the USMC. If any man will come unto me, let him take up his cross and follow me daily. It's going to be rough. You're going to get beat. You're going to get whipped. You're going to get shot at. You want to join? Why? He's honest. He is not a deceiver. He will not tell you you'll get a new Cadillac every 3 years or you'll never have no problems. As a matter of fact, he says, what man, what king will look to make war with another king without counting the cost? And Jesus said, it's the same way when a man comes to me, let him count the cost. Why? He has nothing to hide. And look, friends, we're out to win this war. You see, there's one great difference between us and America and Germany and Europe and all that. When they go into a war, they may not be exactly sure which one's going to win. They may not know exactly the casualties, but I didn't know in this one. Amen. I can turn over here to the back of the book and I find out I'm on the winning side. Why? His motives are right. His motives for fighting this war. It was not to prove that he was this and that and the other. He was not the one who started this. Watch this. The prophet said that's the reason we're only a minority. The small side of the people this morning in the Christian realm. The Holy Ghost born people. Because they're in that little part. Did you know that in heaven, that the devil was God's right-hand man in the beginning? Now what you and I know today as a devil and demons, they were not created like that. If we could have stood there at the beginning when God was unfolding, no doubt he did them the same way they did everything else. He started with the lower forms and kept creating higher and higher. There's degrees of angels. That's what there is with humans and plants and so on. So he created higher and higher and higher. And the height of that angelic creation. Ah, here he is. Great luminous rays of light coming from his being. God says, I'll call him Daystar. Lucifer. If you'd have looked at him and said, my, my, what an angel. And he was. My. You're doing good. You're all right. Now what? So God needed one being that would be his right-hand man. You see, this is what kind of makes it a little bit difficult for the Trinitarian doctrine. Unless God had two right-hand men. One of them was Jesus and one of them was Lucifer. But you see, actually, in the mystery of God's person, Jesus had not yet been fully revealed. Lucifer was his right-hand man, but Christos, which was to come, was his heart. The mystery was concealed. Now God wasn't an old man and then the Holy Ghost here and Jesus over there. No, it was one God. That light all emanating out of him, and God had one man on his right hand. One being. He was God's right hand man in the beginning. That Lucifer, son of the morning, was given power. And the reason he brought sin into the world, he was able to take something God had created and pervert it back into an evil thing which started all the trouble in the beginning. Satan is not a creator. Excuse me while I taunt him a little bit. You are not a creator. You had a beginning, which means you will have an end. I had no beginning, which means I will have no end. Hallelujah, the Word had no beginning. Now watch, God back before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Now remember, there's nothing now going on down here. Down here. This is the heavenly realm or heavenly dimension. So the dimension is not expanded this way toward a universal expression yet. It's still there in heaven. Now watch, he says, before the foundation of the world was ever laid, when he's seen what Satan done, in his pride. Can't you see why God hates pride? Satan never smoked. He never committed adultery in heaven. But pride in his heart. In his pride, went over in the north and set up a kingdom and fought against Michael and his angels. So, you mean God allowed this? God knew this would happen to the very moment it would happen. You mean he didn't stop it then? No. You mean God knew this would happen in the message? Yeah. You mean he didn't stop it? No. Really? No. Will he let it go on? Yes. How long? Until it's accomplished what it needs to accomplish. Which will only make the elect of God shine out even more. We thought we shined out against them. Nothing like what we're going to shine out against those that have sat right in our own midst. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. But day after day after day, as if we would count time, they would have been before his presence and who knows what Father said and what he let this right-hand man know. Now, since he's not omnipotent, omniscient to know all things, and yet he's able to know enough about the secret of God to be able to figure some of it out. Wonder if God didn't spend several thousands of years saying things so big ears would hear it. Now remember, he ain't God, he ain't all-knowing, he don't know the future. So you wonder what God said and what God talked about. It's in my heart to do this, it's in my heart to do that, and I want to be this, and I want to be that. He's talking to the system, I mean the right-hand man there in heaven. Remember, this revolt, this war, came from within the heavenly work. Why? Nobody knew the plan the way this guy did. Maybe aeons of time went by. Thousands of years, millennia. And all of a sudden, one day, it hit him. I am sick and tired. Now, this is Kentucky, okay? You know, you don't think I can Kentucky, but I'll relate to you the best I know. I'm sick of this. Every day, as far back as I can remember, since I come into existence, all I've done is worshiped him and praised him and told him how great he is and how wonderful he is. I stop everybody's approach and counsel. This is all I've ever done. I'm sick of it. Sin started right there. And remember, God cannot create it because sin is not a creation. But he allows his soul. Satan has a soul. And his soul sinned. So sin began in Satan's soul, in his heart. Now in his pride he says, I don't have to be this way. I've got the ability to do things. I'm the one who tells people to do this, angels to do this and do that, and do something else. I am his right-hand man. Watch this, in the seal of the Antichrist, the right-hand man of Almighty God was Lucifer, the son of the morning. So when God started expanding his creation, he actually had this title. Look, he was almost a forerunner of the Lord Jesus. Son of the morning. Son of the morning. What is that? Day spring. Day bringer. Light bringer. One that was so close to God. Isn't it amazing how we just get absolutely devastated when people so close to our hearts and so close to our move and so close to our church turn? We shouldn't. That's the way it happened in the beginning. There ain't nobody that's left this message has ever called that. I mean, they might have called themselves that, but God didn't. They weren't none of them called Son of the Morning. But God attributed this to this being. I'll call you Lucifer, Son of the Morning. Watch this. The right-hand man of Almighty God was Lucifer, the Son of the Morning. The first, God granted him almost co-workers with him. He was a co-worker. Partly equal. Oh my. I don't think I've ever heard you all so quiet in my life. Man, I thought y'all was quiet on Wednesday night. Maybe it's still the aftershocks. You're still... You mean to tell me that God would give this kind of a position? A co-worker. And actually allowed him by creation a position of co-equality up so far. Why? He can do more damage. Now listen carefully. You see, in the beginning, before time began, there was no angels, there was no cherubims, there was no seraphims, no zooms, no atoms, no molecules, no light. It was just the eternal. It's hard for us to imagine, I know. The devil ever wear you out about that? Come on, you believe who is his daddy? Where did he come into existence? You just say, shut up, devil. It's deeper than I can understand and comprehend. But you imagine when there was no one there, nothing created at all. He had within his being these attributes. A multiplicity of millions of attributes. Healer, Savior, Redeemer, Al Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. All this that was in him. But yet part of these attributes would be attributed to time expression. Part of these attributes would be a manifestation of the eternal. Part of them would be a manifestation of the eternal, but only expressed in time. And when they reached their fulfillment, it would roll back into the eternal and they would no longer be needed. I don't want to blow your mind, but you realize when you get in a new body, you'll never need the blood of Jesus again. Whoa, glory to God. You'll never need another altar. John never looked up there in that new city and saw an altar. And the saints gathered around the altar praying. There won't be no repenting going on. There won't be no revival sermons going on. Why? It served its purpose in time. And it will have completed that purpose.
Hallelujah. Think of this. His face is your face as a believer. Eternal.
Your perception of Him as Savior, is that eternal? Or will it not come to a spot for one day? Faith will end in sight. No. Faith will have run its course, and faith will be terminated in the completion when your eyes will look at the Lord Jesus and you'll no longer, I believe, I believe, I believe, I've got faith. You won't need it then, my friends. Lord have mercy. Why? It will have fulfilled its purpose and time. But that could not be manifested without somebody being lost. But if you project somebody and make them be lost, and then you run over and say, oh, you're lost. Let me help you. Let me save you. You're unjust. Because you made them be that in order that you might reach fulfillment. But what if you made yourself an enemy? Now, you brothers, when you was going to school, you know, there's always been a pecking order. And I was always at the bottom of the peck. Woo! You know, there's always a bully. And people say, stay away from that guy. Stay away from that guy. Watch that guy. So if you was looking for somebody to build your reputation amongst, you move to a new school and you go out on the playground and you grab the baddest boy there, you're a nut. You better start with Pee-wee and work your way up. But that wasn't the way God done it. He needed an opposition. He needed an enemy. But if He makes him an enemy by creation and causes him to do this in order that he can express himself, He cannot punish that enemy for what that enemy is simply carrying out by command. But if He makes that enemy on the basis of choice, and that enemy has a full choice, and he does it on his own without software being pre-programmed or without being created thus, then it will be just. Lord have mercy. Can you imagine holding all this in you for a week? I don't see how the eternal has held it all in Him since eternity. So God makes an enemy. And He doesn't make one that's so inferior, so small, that he will have no influence, no power. But He makes him almost an exact copy of Himself. But He's a created copy. That's all of us tonight that's got the Holy Ghost. We're first generation. I ain't great, 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 great grandchildren of Pentecost. I'm a child of Pentecost. Me and Peter's first generation together. Me and Paul, me and Jesus, hold on. Me and Jesus are first generation brothers. Lord. Hallelujah. He is not ashamed to call me brother. So God, when He unfolds and He puts all of these things, He makes these lower angels and they'll be able to move from dimensions. They'll be able to soar through dimensions and travel in time. They'll be able to do all kinds of things. It's like He's coming higher, higher. Makes the cherubims, makes the zooms right up here at the top. And then He makes this one. And the others you imagine as they stand there. And they're in awe. Wow. What kind of angel is this? And God loads him with His attributes. You be my right hand man. You be this. You be that. You be that. All of it's righteous. Now remember.
He's not creating sin.
Amen.
And it's in him for years. He didn't sit around the message for 40 years and leave. It might have been millions. Thousands. Who knows? So here he is, a co-worker with God. He'd go up around the throne of God, would sit like this, put his arm around God. God put his arm around him. How you doing, buddy? Doing good, buddy. How are you? Doing okay, buddy. Buddy. But one day the created buddy said no more. This is my last day. I'm resigning my post. I've done scouted out another part of the city over here. I'm moving to the north. Now remember, David caught this years later about the city of Zion. Beautiful for situation in the sides of the north. Why is it that we call it the North Star? Why isn't it the South Star? What is the North? Why is the compass set on due north? There's things he saw when God expanded his creation and he set his focus on the north. Not because it was inferior. Not because it was, I'll start way out here little and humble. That's not his way. His way is to set toward the goal of God's heart. Can I go a bit farther? He was a co-worker, partly equal with him. Only Satan could not create. God is the only creator, but Satan took something that God created and perverted it back into something else, evil. Now I know we've looked at this before. Let's look at it again, Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, notice now, the beginning of sin, I will. You look at every move against God, this starts the same way, in somebody's heart. Either a preacher or a song leader or a lay person. I will do this. I'll expose that. I'll show this. You know exactly where it come from. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Where did he get a throne? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And the word stars means progeny, Messiah's brothers. Yeah. Lord have mercy. How did he know the Messiah was going to have brothers? Unless somebody shared intimate secrets with him. So you imagine he's not omnipotent, he's not omniscient, he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. He cannot know all of these things. So God unloads and God speaks and God shares. This is my plan, this and that. But God only gives bits and pieces. An old blabbermouth thinks he's got the whole plan. God just give the cow enough rope to hang herself, or himself, I should say. How did he know the Messiah was going to have brothers? How did he know? Wonder when he was around the throne if he peeked over and said, what's that? And Papa reached over and said, that's my family album. Do you mind? Oh, no. No. No, the contents of this book are for my eyes only. Oh, so there's... I mean, is it a plan or it's a plan. It's a man with a plan. Is it names or addresses or is it, well, we'll say it's both. It's names and it's addresses and it's, identities.
You understand?
All you need is, you know, you.
So let me see if I get this right. In other words, you're not satisfied just by having zoons and cherubims and angels and all that. You're going to, yeah, I'm going to expand my creation. And so the expansion of that creation has something to do with what's in that book. You might say that. Yeah. And you wouldn't let me. No, it's sealed with seven seals. Amen. You see, amen, unlike us, we have to wait till our children are born to be able to get a picture of them and a family album. But God was able to make His family album before the foundation of the world. The prophet of God said He took a picture of you, not when you was 18 or 20, but when you was your best before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah! You imagine him every now and then coming into the throne room and Papa would be sitting there saying, "How you doing, God?" "I'm doing fine." "How are you today, Lucifer?" "Doing well, doing well." You went, no. This is my secret. This is the mystery of my secret. Well, I know you ever, I know you'll put a little lock on there. You know, some of your sisters, and you had a diary, and your boyfriend was, "Oh, we went out on this date, and he took me over to McDonald's, and that hamburger was the awful thing that ever was." But we just sat there and looked, and you know, you lock it up. You don't want your little brother reading that, or you don't want your little sister. So you put a little lock on that thing, and say, "Oh, that's your mystery." You didn't know he had a key just like yours. So he got in there, he's making fun of you. He said, "Yeah, my sister," and I said, "Oh, those stuff is sick. I don't know why she wants a boyfriend." But God had such a lock on this. Even if the devil could have opened it up, he couldn't read it. Amen. He couldn't read it. Oh, God can hide himself in the word and theologians and set it all under lock and still not understand it. Hallelujah. So you imagine, after sin starts in his heart, "I will exalt my throne above the Messiah's, brothers. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation." Now this is said before the foundation of the world. There wasn't even an earth. There wasn't even a church. How did he know there was going to be a congregation? Poor old dumb devil, I feel sorry for you. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Let me close with this. But God goes on to say in the book of Isaiah, "I will bring you down to the sides of the pit." He wants the sides of the north, but he gets the sides of the pit. Why? He started this war for the wrong motive. Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord, that's good.
Motives for war. Yes. I want you to think tonight of yourself. You that are fighting. If you've got a fight in your family, one of your brothers, one of your sisters, a mom and dad, or whatever it is, I want you to look at your motives while you're fighting. If you're fighting in this church, you got a war against a brother or a sister here at the church. If we're fighting a political agenda, if we are fighting the world, what is our motive for fighting? If we fight bobbed hair and painted faces and makeup and all that, why do we fight it? Oh, it's easy to see. You're fighting it because Brother Ben said it. Oh, no. I fought that when I was in Pentecost. I didn't have a television in Pentecost. Had no Christmas tree in Pentecost. For those of you that think I just embrace homeless and I come to the message, you need to rewind many, many years. Come on now. For those poor people who think all this began with Brother Branham, they need to read a little bit of history. It hadn't been too many years ago that the Methodists preached against bobbed hair and painted faces. It hadn't been too many years ago that the Baptists did. So what's our motive for fighting? Do we do it because we think we have we're greater than them, better than them? No. Why do we fight against the homosexual agenda? Why? Because we want them dead? Absolutely not. Any man that preaches homosexuals ought to be killed needs to get the Holy Ghost. I don't want nobody to get killed for what they believe. Even if they're wrong. I know of no one, but I want to go to hell. Absolutely no one. I know of no one, but I want to be lost. And if there was in my heart, I would not leave this place till I repented and had these preachers come up and pray for me. Because I'm not fit to stand in this pulpit if there's one person that I would want to see go to hell. Because my master does not want to see anybody go to hell. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason they go is because they want to go. If we attack and have a war, what's our motives? What's our principles? Is it for ourselves, for our pride? When Satan gets between your husbands and wives and you break out of a conflict and a war, what's your motive for fighting it? To prove your point? Or to bring reconciliation in your home as quick as possible so your prayers won't be hindered? Why do we fight wars? I hope it ain't for the same reason that he did. I will and I won't and me and mine and it's all about me. Can you imagine how God knew he was going to make this move? But instead of God moving first to stop him, God actually allowed him to make this move. Wonder which one it was. Wormwood? Michael? Wonder which one it was. To come before the throne of God and said, Father, Lucifer, your right-hand man, he's went over in the north and started another kingdom of heaven. Father, I hate to tell you, but 2/3 of your angels have left. We've only got 1/3 left. You imagine God, really? Oh no. Here, send this over to him and not my daddy. Not my daddy. You imagine him going, looking at the angel, said, don't be alarmed. I knew he would do this. I know it's devastated you. I know it's about shook you to your foundation. But this is part of my plan. Really? Really? But some of them that left have more authority than those of us who stayed. You say, that's crazy. Is it really? Well, when Daniel was praying and praying and praying, and for 21 days Daniel prayed, and finally this great prince comes down and tells Daniel, your prayer was heard the first day. But I was fighting. But he was fighting. Notice here, an angel had been sent down, but the prince over this district, a fallen angel, had more authority than the angel which was sent to war against him that was still in the presence of God. And God sent one mightier in power to come down. Praise the Lord, a prince. Hallelujah. And then the angel told him the mission and all was going to happen. He said, now I must go back and fight again.
Don't misunderstand me, friends, but the Lord likes a little tassel every now and then. You remember when that maniac stood down at Brother Branham in Oregon? You do remember what Brother Branham told us about that in 1956, don't you? He said the chief of that tribe of demons made a challenge. He said, I'll show you whose feet I'll fall across. I'll break every bone in your body. The chief of that tribe of demons made a challenge. And Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost accepted his challenge. Amen! Glory to God. And that man fell across his feet. And the prophet of God said when he did, people come out of wheelchairs. People that was lame was walking. People that was blind received their sight. Why? The Holy Ghost accepted his challenge. Praise the Lord. Remember the policeman asked him, is the man delivered? Brother Bam said, no, he ain't delivered. He worships that spirit. Look at this, friends. The closest man to the prophet of God, excuse me, laying right across on his feet, got nothing. Nothing. He's laying right there. And people all over the building getting delivered. So let the heathen rage. Let our accusers say what they want to say. I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to accept their challenge. Woo! Oh yeah! I'm waiting for my Lord Jesus to anoint his commanders and his captains and his lieutenants when he says, now accept their challenge. Whoa, hallelujah! Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how I've been waiting, Lord, to bring this to your children. I didn't get but to page 3, and I got about 40-some pages of it, but all 3 were sure good. And they wasn't good because I preached them as good because you gave them. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I'll be the first to admit, I'm sure that I've had conflicts and battles and even wars. That the wrong motive, the wrong attitude, affected me while I was there. Maybe it started out right, but it got affected somehow during the middle of it. Help me, Lord. I didn't choose to be a preacher. As a matter of fact, I would have chose not to. But you chose me, along with the rest of your men. So, Lord, then I know that I'm going to be day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year of my life, in one battle after another. And most of mine are not me personally. It's the conflicts of dealing with doctrine and error and helping people in their lives. I need your wisdom, Lord. I need your strength. I can read quotes. I can read scriptures. I can study. I can listen to tapes, which I do. But still, I don't get wisdom from doing that. I get knowledge. Wisdom must come from you. And this wisdom is pure. It's holy. It's easy and treated. I realize, Lord, that some of our brothers, they can't really fight in this war properly because they're spending so much of their service time defending themselves. Talking about how hard it is and how they've been through this and that and the other. So instead of defending the gospel, they're defending themselves. Help us, I pray, Lord. Not just preachers, but these people. May we realize we're not here to defend so much ourselves, but you. Help us, Father, that it'll not be a tit for tat, as it were, that people say something about us and then we say something about them, and people put something on a website and then we blast them. Lord, that's one reason I've chosen to stay off of these websites and all this stuff. I know they're blasting me and making videos about me. Let them do it. I've got more important things to look at than see who's telling the next lie on me, Lord. Some of it I've actually got quite a laugh out of it, Lord. As I read not long ago where someone who used to sit in the church said, I took in over $7 million in 3 months. I thought about having Brother Jim Babb arrested because that sure wasn't what showed up on my W-2. So some of it, Lord, I've got a real kick out of, if it wasn't so serious. So help us, not to just the preachers, but the sisters, the brothers, each one of us, in their war, whether it's with a wayward son or maybe a lost husband, a daughter, whatever it be. Give us wisdom, each of us in our battlefront. Help us, Lord God, that we can fight skillfully. David said, He teaches my hands to war. Glory to God. Glory to God. After one of the great battles where you had come out a victor and you let Israel share in your victory, Moses builds an altar and he calls the name of it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. He is our flag. He's what we enter into the battle with. So Satan, if you want to meet us, here's our flag. Jehovah Nissi. He is not just our Jehovah Jireh. He is El Gabor. The Lord is a mighty man of war. Teach us how to fight, Lord. Sometimes when we leave the battle, we've got enemies laying everywhere. Spiritually speaking, our hands are covered in blood. Blood on our faces, blood on our swords. The stench of death is all around us. Other times we leave the battlefield weeping and crying because a brother fell, a sister fell, and the taste of victory was turned into bitterness because during the same war by which we overcome, a half a dozen of our comrades were killed in battle. War is bittersweet. We may win a battle, but how many casualties? Go with it, Lord. How we long for the day, Lord God, Adonai, when we'll lay down our weapons. One of these days, I'll lay down my Bible for the last time. I'll take my laptop off of my lap. I'll set it down on the table there beside the couch. I'll never pick it up again to study, to research. Glory. Then I'll enter that land where my great conqueror will come by with his chariot. Lord Jesus, may I be found worthy that day that you can look through there and find someone to ride with you. Lord, let Brother Branham go first. Let Paul, let Peter, let all the rest of these brothers. But if you got time for one more trip, might be the last one waiting. But would you care to come by and let me get upon the chariot? My mind may be scarred, my hands, my heart tore to pieces. But let me ride with you, Jesus. Oh, God. My motives for fighting wars are in the defense of your truths. Your way, your character, your name. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Encourage your preachers, but don't just stop with them. Encourage each mama, each daddy. Encourage these young men, these young women. When Satan would move among them, Tell them there's no need to fight. May they feel the strength of El Gabor. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. May the angels of God come through this place tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands, friends, in the presence of the King. You remember when Jacob has that great visitation from the presence of God, and he renames that holy place and he calls it Mahanaim, the place of the two camps. It was the heavenly camp and his earthly camp merged together. Lord God, may the angels of God, we sense them here now, Lord. That's this presence that we sense. They're here with us. We need you, Lord God. This is not a natural battle. We're not fighting flesh and blood, Lord. We're not fighting people. We're fighting demons, Lord. We don't want to aim this war against people. Make it a flesh battle and a war battle against people. But demons, how can I fight a devil? How can us preachers lead, Lord, in a war of demonology? When these demons are there before the foundation of the world as angels, how can we ever do it, Lord God? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need the mighty captain among us. Lord God, lead us. Give us the commands. Help us to know what to do. Should we lead on? Should we retreat? How should we fight? All the boundaries, Lord. Should we dig in? Should we leave? What should we do, Lord? Help us. Lord God, from the greatest person in this building, whoever it be, to the littlest, which would be me. We all need you, Lord. No matter how long we've been serving you, how long we've been around. We need you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Minister to your saints tonight, Father. I bless your name. I worship you, Lord God. Teach my hands to war. Lead me, Lord God. Demons out of hell are pulling on these people. Teach me how to war. Teach me what to preach to set them free. Lord God, teach me. Give me the wisdom of deity. Give me the anointed words of the mighty God. Help me, Lord. Help these people, I pray. We need you, Lord God, like never before. Oh, Lamb of God, we worship you, Lord Jesus. Let's just keep our hands up if you can in the presence of the Lord. Just ask Him for strength, children. You know you're at war and maybe you're on many fronts. Maybe you've got a front in your home and another front at work. And maybe you've got another front, sad to say, but you may have another front when you come here to church. Satan trying to get between you and a brother or you and a sister. You and your husband, you and your daughter. May God give you wisdom, my sisters. You young ladies, Satan try to pull on you. Try to pull you toward the world. Don't let him. You young brothers. You married men. You married sisters. You ministers. You deacons. You trustees. You folks outstream in the service. All of you. May the presence of the mighty God come right down there in your living room. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God. Lord Jesus, don't just be mindful of us here in this building, Lord. May you go there to those that are streaming tonight, Father. Those that will archive the service, Lord, don't forgive them, I pray. May the presence of God there, Lord, go up in New York and down in Georgia, over in Alabama, wherever they are, Lord God. Your children around the world, we need your strength, Father. We don't know how to fight this fight. It's too great for us, Lord. But you are our banner. You are our commander. You are our leader. You are our guide. You are our strength. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord.
Teach my hands. Teach my hands to war. Teach my hands to war. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be my banner. Be my strength. Oh Lord, be my God as I stand upon your word. Oh God of my strength and the joy of my life, I'm called to be your wife. Teach my hands to war, O Lord. Teach my hands, I pray. Oh, teach my hands to war, Lord. Teach my hands, I pray. Bless your holy name, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Manda heke rusan de kuljate, minda kisha ninda suko, bara yendo hola man yende kusha, seman de heka, bosan de yuko rende namonol. Borate kello, shinde hilo lo mandeka, susa bahariello, marinde, randa kola te jahanda, munta kasia, jahania, pura liala kula landa, mindili, lukura titasia, samandiati kallae, murabandiel de kola tasiandehena, non di morla mande la chi suscitela la mande vronde l'icello ninto colla porassessa te chitti nai folocia nai mond attaccala attaccali si che lo sorralle medan mandelle te cai for how the Lord God say I'm mindful of your wars. I'm mindful of your troubles. Yea, know that I, the Lord God, I am here. And I speak and say unto thee, thy troubles shall multiply. even though they shall be greater, yea, I say, I will be thy strength. For yea, know that I, the mighty God that have brought thee thus far, I will take thee on. Do not shake, do not falter. For there will be even more that shall fall, but neither look to the left nor to the right. For I, the mighty God, say, I am He. I am He that created thee. Yea, shall not I bring thee forth? Have not I saved thee for this hour? Yea, have not I reserved thee for this time, saith the Lord God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord God. Lord God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. I receive your strength tonight, Father. I receive your help, my God. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Lord Jesus, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me strength, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you love Him, children, with all your heart. Let's just honor this presence. You know, this is not man-made. You know, we can't make this. Man don't have the ability to cause this to happen. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Help us, I pray. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God.
I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me. Just my salvation on Calvary's tree. Listen, Satan, I love Him. I love Him because His Word tells me that He does. And on Calvary's tree, sing it again. I love Him.
Lord God, I bless Your name. Mighty God, we worship You tonight, Lord Jesus. Yeah, Lord.
Lord, a clean heart, oh
Heavenly Father.
Make me yours, Lord. Oh, God. And renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take down thy Holy Spirit. Please don't take it away from me.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, we worship you. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him, children. Let's praise him with all of our hearts. He's here to deliver you. He's here to save you. He's here to heal you. He's here to give you what you have need of.
Amen.
Think about it, y'all. Oh, bless your name, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Bless your name, Lord God. Receive our worship, Lord. Receive our adoration, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We want you to know we're on your side tonight, Lord. We're on the side of truth. We're on the side of righteousness. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Oh, God. I adore you, great Adonai. Jehovah Nissi. El Gabor, the mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Of your kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. You're the first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We shall be kings and priests. And we shall reign upon the earth. Hallelujah.
I looked over.
Hallelujah.
Jordan.
Hallelujah.
And
Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus.
Coming forth to carry me.
Oh yes. Oh yes, Lord.
It was a band of angels.
A band of angels.
Coming out.
Glory to God.
Coming for to carry me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Get there.
Hallelujah.
Before.
Why don't you give him a wave offering? Let's just give him a wave offering tonight. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God.
It won't be long till I be gone.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Won't you swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Oh, rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come in easy. Won't you swing, swing down, chair and stop and let me ride.
Oh,
swing,
let
me run. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord.
Yes,
come easy. I've got a home on the other side.
Praise the Lord. Stop and let me ride, rock and roll, rock.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'm reminded of a little story that the prophet told us about some soldiers in a foreign field.
Yes.
Some were wounded, some were lost limbs, different things happened to them, and they were going to take them from the battlefield. And they come out and they bring each one of those soldiers a rose. And they give them that rose and lay it in their arms. And they just begin to cry and hold on to that rose. Because that rose came from home. I love it whenever now and then he'll come down and in his presence he'll just lay a little rose in arms, Brother Jack. Just encourage us and say, I know where you are. I know what you're going through. Oh, that may not restore the limb and it may not bring automatic healing to you, but you know he's mindful of you. He's mindful of what you're going through. He's mindful of your battles and your trials. And there's more where that come from. If it feels this good in these kind of bodies, what will it be? What will it be when our bodies are changed? And we're able to enter in that presence and never have to depart. Oh, praise God. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down by the river's side. Down by the river's side. Down by the riverside, ain't gonna stay. Oh, oh, oh,
no, 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 no more.
Well, I ain't gonna stay one no more. I ain't gonna stay one no more. What a mighty God we serve.
It's mighty, yes, sir.
What a mighty God we serve. Our General, General Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Benham said, you've seen God as a healer. Now watch him as a warrior. Amen. God has the heart of a warrior. Amen. We have a right to fight for our God-given right. Amen. Brother Bram said they called Geronimo a renegade. Said, I call him a gentleman.
is only fighting for what God gave him, a land and a nation and a place to live. He said, I don't blame him, he said. Amen. Geronimo said, you white people, if you had a land that always belonged to you and someone else come in and tried to take it away from you, would you not fight for it? Then why do you condemn me for fighting for what's mine? Hallelujah. Amen. The heart of a warrior, because our motive is right and our principle is right. Amen. To liberate our sons and our daughters from the bondage of our enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, if it'll make an old man feel like this, what I ought to do, some of you young people. Amen. To have the shout of the King in the camp.
Yes.
To know that he's with us. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. Amen. Many strange things will happen in the days ahead. It may seem like you stand alone, but we shall stand together. But we are one in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. A call to arms. Amen. When this nation wanted to be liberated from the taxation of the British, to be birthed as a nation to worship God in spirit and in truth, there came a call to arms.
Yes, sir. They fought for us.
To stand up for what's ours. To fight for what's ours. If I fall fighting, it's no disgrace. Amen. Amen. Be strong. Be courageous. We were made to be courageous. Amen. Amen. The line's been drawn. Let's make our stand. Oh, do you love him tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God, I don't even know what language to speak. Amen. God bless you richly, saints. God bless you richly. One day, never pack another suitcase, never kiss the girls goodbye. Let us be faithful. Let us be true. God will vindicate his children. Amen. Have you enjoyed the word tonight? Do you feel the shout of the King in your soul tonight? Amen. No wonder David danced before the ark. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I had 10,000 tongues. I wish I had 10,000 hands to raise to him. There is none like him. There is none like him. He's my King. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my strength. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He's my healer. He's my friend. He's my bridegroom. He's my all in my all. With him I can do all things. Without him I can do nothing.
Right.
He's my sword and my shield. He's my ever-present help. He's my rock. Hallelujah. He's my sail. He's my anchor. He's my ship. He's my ocean.
That's him, brother.
He's my everything. Oh, do you love your Jesus tonight? I don't want to close. I just want to stay here forever in his presence. Amen. May God richly bless you. Appreciate your prayers. We went into Nicaragua and had some meetings over there and saw the Lord move among his children and touch them and help them, and certainly appreciate you praying for us and allowing us to come safely back home. Amen. We love you tonight. Amen. Amen.
It's just barriers. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've never been a great speaker. I stand before people, Lord. I don't know what to say. I don't have adequate words. I'm not a smart man, Lord. But Lord, if I could speak eloquent words, I would speak them to you, for thou art worthy. Lord, my words can't express. So listen to my heart, Lord. For it speaks a language that my lips cannot utter. My love and my gratitude to you, Lord, for saving me, for opening my eyes to see this hour we're living in, to be a part of your children, to stand in among the ranks of your bride. How I thank you, Lord. I humbly thank you, Lord Jesus, for your visitation tonight, for the lives that were touched tonight, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for the weary heads that were made strong, for the weak hearts that has been strengthened by the utterance of thy word, oh God. And Lord, as we depart from this building this evening, Lord, if I could, you could hear my prayer, may we never depart from this presence, Lord. Bless the service tomorrow. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord. Restore his strength to him. Bless the little bride all around the world, Lord. Lord, be mindful of the meetings tomorrow as we travel in the morning. Help us, oh God, we pray. We just love you, Lord. We just thank you for all that you've done for us. For all that you've given us, Lord. Oh God, may we answer the call of arms. May we be wise as serpents, Lord, yet gentle as doves. Show us what you would have us to do, dear God, and to say, Lord. We report for duty tonight, oh God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for your presence here this evening. Lord, be with your children as they make their way home. Keep us safe, Lord, and we return again in the morning. We just love you, Lord, and just thank you for all that you've given us and for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Oh, thou, O Lord, are a shield. Hallelujah. The lifter of my head. Oh, thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Yeah.